policies regarding drug testing, and the penalties for failed drug tests. Generally, the first penalty or the first failed drug test results in basically something handled in-house. The second drug test would result in a suspension of what the rule book determines 10% of your season, so 3 games for a basketball program, 1 game for a football program, and so on. And then the third within an academic year is generally supposed to sort of be your third strike and you're out. In terms of something like this, I think it's typically more sort of within the purview of the coaches. I mean, I think there are some guidelines, and obviously it's not like there are going to be coaches that have rules that say that this kind of stuff is just okay and don't worry about it. But I think it's this kind of thing is generally going to be left more within the purview of sort of the administration or the coaching staff to deal with a specific incident rather than sort of going to a rule book and saying, okay, see page 24, this is what we do.
And the interesting thing is there is no judge and jury for this. This doesn't go in front of some board in the athletic department, or it doesn't go in front of a student council hearing or anything like that, correct?
No, correct. I mean, obviously there are times where if students get in trouble on campus, they may have to go in front of, the
J board
campus. Yeah, but in terms of the punishments they'll feel from within their program, that is all internal.
The one thing we have seen, if there's any pattern here to pick out, besides the police blotting, is if you've been in trouble multiple times, it doesn't look like you have a future with the program. Hannah Perea was arrested for OWI in February of 2014. He wasn't even mentioned in the Devin Davis citation back in the springtime, but Indiana basketball said enough was enough. That was Davis's second issue with the law, where Stanford Robinson had a problem with Yogi Ferrell at Kilroy Sports, and Stanford missed a drug test, but he didn't fall into that. Has the policy in the department, from your viewpoint, has it looked like they've made it more stringent? Does it need to be more stringent?
Well, I think that's something that maybe this incident will answer to a degree. I mean, because if you look, frankly, at for example, I mean, and I know that it's not always apples to apples, but sort of to compare Emmett Holt's infractions in particular to those of perhaps Hunter Perea, I think you can make an argument that his mistakes are, frankly, a little bit less, they are not quite as serious. At the same time, I think there is probably also a feeling that Indiana should have a more zero tolerance policy at this point, at least around the program, certainly within the fan base, based on the feedback I was getting last night. So I think it's going to be interesting I don't want to say interesting because obviously.
Well, no, it is interesting.
One way or the other. But, I mean, I think it's going to be telling what happens here and what Indiana's attitude is toward this.
Well, there's some people that feel this just plainly isn't a big deal, and why should we even care? Is that how college athletics works these days? Are people just numb to this because they hear it, quote, this happens at every other program, what's the big deal?
Well, I think at some level.
Does it happen at every other program? Does anybody else have 14 arrests in their basketball program in the last 2 years? Is that an unfair question?
I've gotten that attitude more in terms of this specific incident, I think, than the totality of incidents. I haven't really gotten people who've said that none of this is a big deal. I think it's more this specific incident, and I think there are plenty of people that can relate to making mistakes of drinking underage or getting caught by excise police in college. I think this is more an infraction that probably a lot of people, if they didn't run afoul of it themselves in college, they came awfully close. I mean, especially on a campus like Indiana.
I'll throw in my 2 cents. If it's a party of 600 people and they single 2 guys out, that's a problem. This was 5 people parked in a convenience store with Assembly Hall and Cook Hall in their rearview mirror and running afoul of the law. So that's what it is. And, again, people that are homers for the program will stick up and say it's no big deal. People that say that athletes should be held to a higher standard and mean more because of their face of the university on national TV, get to go to Hawaii, fly in private jets, will argue that this is an issue. That's what I've heard in all of this. So is there a timeline, in your opinion, you think Indiana will, quote, unquote, make a decision, if anything, or are we just waiting to hear for the next press conference?
I think we're waiting to hear at some level. Tom Crean will have a public appearance on Thursday. And so obviously we'll get the chance to ask him if we don't.
That's the tailgate tour in Indianapolis, is that right?
Yes.
So that'll be the next time he faces, unless he schedules something before that. So we'll hear. I think we'll hear something before that, don't you?
I mean, that's my feeling, although I certainly just can't predict anything for sure. But that would be my guess.
I would think they'd want that cleaned up before they made their big stop in Indianapolis. That's just my opinion. Okay, my opinion doesn't matter. That's why we have your opinion on here. Zach Osterman from the Indy Star. Follow him at Zach Osterman. We'll talk a little basketball news briefly for those who, again, don't think this is a big deal. That's fine. Indiana fills out their roster for now with a transfer from Pittsburgh. And we saw the young gentleman play here a couple seasons ago. Fill us in on what he does and what he can help with in the future.
Josh Newkirk, 6'1 guard, really a point guard by trade. Comes from Pitt. You're right. He played here last year, had 16 points and 8 assists in IU's heavy win over Pitt in the ACC Big Ten Challenge last year. You know, a player who he's actually from North Carolina and had intended to transfer to get closer to home. And then I think Indiana just kind of called and that sort of turned its attention. A player that's looking, as I guess many seem to be these days, for a more up-tempo style than what Pitt runs. He was an Indiana recruit for a while in high school. You know, both sides kind of went their separate ways. I think he was pretty serious with NC State at one point before he wound up picking Pitt. And, you know, I don't know a ton about him in terms of watching him in high school. I've obviously seen him more in college. I can see reasons why he would fit a more up-tempo style a little bit better. He averaged 2.7 assists in what something like just barely more than 20 minutes a game last year, so you can sort of see that part of his game. I think the question is the shooting. He shot 43.4% from behind the arc as a freshman, barely more than 30% as a sophomore. He also had his surgery to repair a couple things in his knee in the offseason. Obviously, that's not a big concern. Indiana will have plenty of time to ease him back because he can't play this year anyway since he's a transfer. But I guess you wonder, does the injury affect the shooting?
Oh, sure, you shoot with your legs, absolutely.
You know, what was his freshman year an outlier? But if nothing else, it gives Indiana's going to lose Nick Zizelof, Yogi Ferrell after this year. James Blackman Jr. might have an NBA decision to make. And so this gives you another veteran guard, if you do lose all three of those, to put next to Robert Johnson so you don't have to rely on freshmen right away to be handling the ball, initiating the offense. And it gives you a guy, too, that, you know, the advantage with these sit-out-of-year transfers is they also are veterans of your program by the time they hit the floor.
And the other thing you like about the kid, he transfers from an ACC program. He's seen big-time basketball. He's seen big-time arenas. He's not going to have any fear of walking into any place in the Big Ten and wondering, oh, geez, this is how it should be. That's not going to be the issue with him either. Zach Osterman's our guest. He's with the IndyStar.com. Basketball will stay on that and bring in a little football as well. The Louisville Indiana series, does that make me as a fan hopeful that Indiana and Kentucky can get something done down the road?
Well, we'll see. I mean, the one thing I'd point out is if you look at the dates, Indiana and Louisville play that first game in Indianapolis on New Year's Eve. The next two, I want to say, are around December 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. I don't remember the exact.
Yeah, the old Kentucky dates.
Yes, that's the thing. Is they are right there on the schedule where the Kentucky game always was every year. I mean, maybe if you can get through the Louisville series and just sort of things have thawed enough, I could maybe see it coming back.
Or Calipari retires and goes away.
Right now, I mean, the Louisville game is in more or less Kentucky's time slot. So, and that goes through 2018. So I wouldn't expect it back on the schedule anytime soon unless both sides are willing to kind of do something very different from what they've been doing before. And I'm not saying that can't happen.
Well, it's interesting they don't build their schedule around each other. It's almost like, oh, we can't fill you in here. Oh, we can't fill you in here. If it was a big game, you'd say, well, let's get that date scheduled first, then we'll schedule around it. That's the only thing that's bothered me from a fan's perspective is we only have one date left, and it doesn't work for you, and it doesn't work for us. I would go about it the other way, but, again, that's why I'm not in charge. I would think you'd want that game to happen, and trying to shoehorn it into the last fit before you put in McNeese State, that doesn't do it for me, but we'll see. So Indiana Louisville football 100 years from now, basketball coming, not this year, but next. Is that right?
Yeah, it'll be New Year's Eve
2016.
Yeah. So weirdly, right around the start of Big Ten play, too. That's an interesting schedule game, but also, I mean, tantalizing possibilities for Indianapolis New Year's Eve.
It'll give you something to do. There's no doubt about it. And briefly, we'll wrap things up with a little football talk. Pigskin gets started. The opener, September 5th. Southern Illinois comes to town 4 p.m. on ESPN News at Memorial Stadium. And the football Hoosiers, I don't want to say a little bit of a coup there, but this was a big-time kid out of Atlanta, had a bunch of SEC schools trotting him down, and the defensive back will come to IU. Tell me how it happened.
Wesley Green, defensive back, 5'10 corner out of Martin Luther King High School in South Atlanta, out of Lithonia, but I honestly, I'm not going to sit here and say I've seen him play a ton or anything like that, but if you look at his offer list, I mean, Georgia, Ole Miss, South Carolina were his finalists. He also had Auburn, Florida, Clemson, Virginia Tech. I mean, the pedigree is there in terms of the schools that wanted him. A former four-star corner, a guy that redshirted this year as a freshman, or last year, as a freshman at South Carolina. He left South Carolina very late. It wasn't until August 10th that South Carolina announced that he would be transferring, basically just said he needed a fresh start. I think the release, and I couldn't help but chuckle at this, I think the release announcing that actually quoted Steve Spurrier as the head ball coach with capital letters to denote the proper noun of head ball coach. But he had a relationship with Indiana. Brandon Shelby had recruited him in high school. Indiana had offered him. Obviously, I think fallen away by the end, but they just kind of struck that relationship back up, and Indiana has some openings and obviously a lot of concerns about depth and sort of future development at a number of secondary spots, and so it was just kind of a natural fit. He's on campus, he's in class, like Josh Newkirk. He has to sit out this year. He'll be eligible starting next season, and obviously the first time we'll get to see him, barring injury, will be in the spring.
All right, brother, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks for the quick version here. I've had some troubles at Mission Control this morning, and I'm trying to get the train back on the tracks. But we always appreciate your time. Zach Osterman from the Indy Star, at Zach Osterman. You can find all his stuff there. And we'll check in with you sooner than later if we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right.